I want to read a passage before we begin our lesson today. And I want to welcome all of you that are visiting here with us. It's special to have you here to hear God's Word and hear what He's got to say to you specifically. I believe the Word of God doesn't fall short. It speaks to everybody individually. So I hope you're ready to be spoken to. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy, before we begin our lesson, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 8, the Bible says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger and dispute. So what we're going to do now this morning is we're going to lift up holy hands to begin our service this morning in prayer. And if you feel uncomfortable doing it, don't do it. But if you feel comfortable about obeying the Scriptures and what the Bible says, then let's do it. So let's bow our heads and lift our hands. Pray with me. Our God in heaven, this morning we praise Your name. We give You praise for Your glory, for Your greatness, for the order that You have placed on the universe. God, what an honor it is to be here in Your presence. And we know, God, where Jesus promised wherever two or more are gathered, here You are. And we thank You that Your presence is with us, God. We pray for You to bless this service. We pray that You'll make our hands holy. We pray, God, that Your Word will fall on fertile ground and produce much fruit in our lives. God, we pray that Your Spirit and Your angels will bless us and be with us. God, we also pray that You'll bless our children downstairs. That You will prepare a way for them to come and be Your children, God. And to be with You for eternity. Father, bless us, be with our friends that are visiting, and bless all the needs that we have in our church, both physical and spiritual. God, we love You. Be with us. Fill me with Your Spirit. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today we're going to continue our study on faith and family. And today we're going to do part three. And in honor of today, we're going to be talking about the purpose of marriage. And I have today the same suit that I wore the day before my wedding. In honor of that day, and it's a blessing. And you know the most amazing thing? It still fits. Wow. So let's peel this thing off. I did it. But you know, if you look around our building today, take a look. We've got a high ceiling, a big open space. What is it that holds this building steady? You see some columns here, all the way back. If one of these columns were to get weak, what would happen? So goes it with the church. I want to ask a few couples to stand for me. You guys that have been chosen to stand, if you could stand in your positions. Now look at these columns. Here we have Kevin and Diane Mead. Kevin and Diane have been in the East Region for many years and they oversee our preteen ministry. Here we have Robert and Michelle Lickfelt. I think they win the prize for being in the East Region the longest time. Is that not right, Joe? They've been here the longest of anybody. They also lead one of our house churches in the East Region. Craig and Teresa Dickens. They oversee and have done a phenomenal job overseeing our children's ministry, the Kingdom Kids program. And then we have the Ardrons, who are a steady force in the family-based ministry. And then on this side, we've got the cornerstone. Joe and Sandy Newfield, who are our first elder in the church. And you just hear it, loved by the church. But they've been a rock through a very difficult time in our church. And then we've got our most recently appointed elders. We've got Dave. and Shirley Moss. And then here in the middle, we've got another column, Robin and Phil Wadsworth. Robin is an integral part of our music ministry. And Phil oversees the ushering and all the order that goes on in our service, the passing of trays, a very important part, a biblical part of our service. And then we have Dave and Margie Email. You know, when you think about these couples, they provide strength for God's church. The level of strength that we find in our marriages is the level of strength that we will find in our church. One step further, the level of strength of our marriages will determine the level of strength in our society. Why is our society falling apart and cracking? Because the pillars, the columns, are weak and are coming apart. And it's the responsibility of the church to come back and rebuild those columns, those fortresses, so that we can go higher and we can go wider. I thank you, couples, for who you are. Today we're going to do a study on the purpose of marriage, God's purpose. We talked about it last week. What's the number one reason couples get married? I'm sorry? To be happy. And I said, you know, that's not the main focus of marriage last week. And some of you went, oh, that's too bad. You mean we can't be happy? I didn't say that. What I said was, it's not the main focus of marriage. But it is one of the purposes, so you can be happy. But we're going to look at this study today, and as we've been talking about, we're going higher. We want to go higher. God wants to take us higher in our view of marriage and in family. You say, well, I'm not married. We've talked about this, right? The singles, the teens, the college students. Well, you know, what does this have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Because if you ever think maybe one day you might get married, you need to understand clearly what that means. How to do it right. The divorce rate in our society is 80% percentage of failure. Want to get married? But I'm telling you today, if we look at God's Word and we decide to obey God's Word, I'm telling you that that percentage can fall to the ground. God can give us an incredible success rate. But it all starts with the individual. And it all starts with the Word and listening. So today we're going to go to a higher view. God's ultimate purpose for marriage, what is it? The big picture, the big one. It's the same as the purpose in your life. If you're here visiting, I ask you, what's the purpose that you have in life? Why are you alive? Why were you born? Why were you put on this planet? Here it is. For His glory. For God's glory. That's your purpose. You're here to give Him glory. You know why the sun just beams out and shines and burns and explodes every millisecond? To give God glory. To declare His praise and how great He is. But let's break it down in marriage. It gets more specific. Number one, marriage, the purpose of marriage is to make us holy. To make us holy. And then number two, to make us whole. W-H-O-L-E. To make us whole. And then number three, to bring us joy and happiness. There it is. Isn't that good? You know, you could be happy. It is one of the purposes. But let's say we want to mess with the order. How about if we mess with it a little bit? Order is crucial in the success of everything we do. Let me give you an example. How important is order in your paycheck? Right? You get paid, right? Here's the order of most people, and this is the order that we try to practice in the church based on what God's Word has taught. First thing you do when you get your paycheck, what should you do? You cheated. You looked up on the... Give God the first fruits. It means give a tithe. Take at least 10% of what you've gained and give it to God. Okay? That's how you should do it. That's what the Bible teaches how you should do it. Give God the first fruits. And even people outside of the church believe in giving a tithe. People that have no religious background give a tithe because they believe in it. They believe it's a principle of life. Then next, what's after that? What's the next thing you should do with your paycheck? Pay your bills, man. You better pay your rent. You better pay your mortgage. You pay your rent, Lena? You pay your utilities. You buy your food. You provide for your family. You provide for the needs. Buy clothes, etc. You can't see the numbers, but... Then number three, you set aside money for what? A rainy day or a future need, right? You never know what's going to happen. That's the responsible thing to do according to Crown Financial. Okay? Crown Financial is a financial program that we do here in the church to teach people how to manage money according to the Scriptures. It's awesome. It can change your life completely. It's changed lives in here. All right? Then what's the last thing? Once you've done all three of those things, guess what's left? You got some money left over, right? You can go out and have some fun. Go watch a movie. You know, go see a concert. You know, you can buy some music on iTunes. Get a video game. All right, but what happens? What happens if we change number four for number one? I get my paycheck, and guess what I'm going to do with that paycheck? Man, I'm going to the racetrack. And we laugh, but there's people who do this. They get paid on Friday and they're going to the racetrack or they're going to the casino and they are going to have some fun with that money. Thinking, I'm going to make some money with this money. I don't know how many of you have spent some time in a casino or a racetrack. If you look carefully, you're going to see some sad men on a Friday afternoon. Later in the evening, sitting outside with their hands on their head, what did I just do? How am I going to tell my wife that I just blew the whole paycheck in 2 hours? It's gone. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? Order is everything. You know, something else even interesting, our government, the United States government, the Declaration of Independence. The framers of our country, they understood the importance of order. Look what the first phrase here. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is in the declaration of our country. These guys were smart. They were sharp. And I believe they were God-led. But what if you trick around with the order of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? See, there's order. What we believe in this country, at least we once believed, life is sacred. Life must be protected. It is the first priority. No one's life should be taken. No one's life should be put in jeopardy. Life is first. The protection of that life. Even if it's an unborn child, it's alive. And that baby needs to be protected under the law of the United States. But see, there's been some changes. Liberty, in some cases, has preceded life because some people thought they could determine when life begins. That's a side point. We talked about that. But what if I said, you know what? I want to be happy. I'm focused on the pursuit of happiness. And I'm going to pursue happiness at your expense. That make you feel good? See, order is so important. And if we mess with order and the way things are supposed to be, it can turn everything upside down. So goes it with the purpose of marriage. Holiness, wholeness, and happiness. It has to be in that order. See, a lot of us don't really understand God and who He is, but you're going to get to know Him a little better. Job chapter 25, look at this verse. Verse 2, it says, dominion and all belong to God. That's why we sing. And I want to encourage some of you to sing out more when we sing in the morning. Because He deserves it. His dominion and all are incredible. He deserves, and I don't care if you can't sing. It's all about here. Sing out because He deserves it. He's worthy. You don't have to be up here on stage to sing out. You can be in the very back corner and sing out. I do it often. He establishes order in the heights of heaven. Do you realize how serious God is about order? Do you know that if the earth, if it were moved just a fraction, if it were moved a foot closer to the sun, it would affect everything about us? You move it, a little further closer to the sun, and it would not support life. Everything would come undone. You know that the earth circles on an axis, a perfect axis, and because of that axis, we have seasons. It moves around perfectly so that we have the spring, which is still upon us, and summer is coming soon, we hope. I hope. I love the warm weather. But everything works. You got green flowers and trees, and then the summer, the warm and the hot days, and then comes back the fall and the rain, and everything works because of the order that God has brought about. When God's purposes for us are in order, they balance our lives. How's your balance today? Are you feeling balanced? Are you out of balance? Order balances our lives. Some of you are going to go home tonight and you're going to look in the laundry room and you're going to say, man, this is disorder. I got a stack of laundry. And I got to do it today. Because I have no undergarments for the rest of the week. Disorder. Or you got the dishes from last night. Still waiting. Whenever. It's important for us when there's disorder to put order back. But you know, if there's disorder, it creates chaos in our lives when it's in our society. Not many of you have had the opportunity to live outside of the United States of America, and we take for granted the amount of order that we have in this country. You know, the news media will tell you, oh yeah, this country's a mess, and you may hear it from my voice a couple times, but let me tell you. Compared to some places, this is the best there is. And maybe I'm a little predisposed. This is where I was born. This is the country that I love. But I've lived abroad for a long time. I've lived in a place where there was so much disorder, you could be holding the form of currency in your hand, the bill. And as you held it in your hand, it's losing value. Right before your eyes. As soon as you got your paycheck, you went to spend it as fast as you could because it was going to be worthless at the end of the month. Hyperinflation in Brazil in 1991. It was chaos. And the reason behind it, they discovered that all the people that were wealthy, created it, were wanting to hoard money for themselves. It was corruption. It was this spiraling problem that they had. And it created chaos. And every month they try to adjust the currency to catch up. So in our lives, one month we'd be living like kings, and one month it was beans and rice, depending upon the adjustment. It was not a stable situation when we lived in Colombia, in the city of Bogota in 1992. There were bombs going off in the city. You know, we get all up in arms because a bomb was about to go off in New York in Times Square. Bombs weren't about to go off. They went off in the city of Bogota, Colombia, blocks from where we lived. They blew up police stations. They blew up hotels. Anyone to strike fear and terror in the society. It was a nightmare. And that's where we lived. We had a brother in the church. Left the service, went out to the bus stop, and some terrorist planted a bomb at the bus stop, and it blew off as he was standing there, paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. Lucky to be alive. That's chaos. Then another time in my life, we lived in Mexico, and the corruption. You had a police officer here, and a crook over here, you didn't know which one to trust. You see, when there's disorder, it creates insecurity, imbalance. But when we put order to things, everything starts to fall into place. How's your home? Let's bring it all the way back. How's your marriage? Is there order? And today we have the opportunity, if we get these three things down, it can change everything in our lives. If we get this concept down, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 33. The Bible says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." And then in verse 40 it says, "But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." Paul is talking about the church. This is a church that struggled with disorder. People would walk in late. People were drinking the communion, the wine and the communion, and getting drunk. They took the bread of the communion and they'd eat it all. And there'd be none left. It was a mess. And then people were standing up in the middle of service and speaking in tongues, they thought. It was a mess. And Paul says, no, this is not who God is. God is a God of order. When you come together, there must be order. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we're all stiff and, you know. No, but there's got to be order. So it is with marriage. God expects order in the church and in His creation. Today we have the opportunity to return order to our lives, the view of marriage. And we'll be able to avoid the 80% failure rate. If we just get the order right. I believe the number one reason why people get divorced in our country and in this state is because they have the wrong order. And God's not a priority. As we talked about with the paycheck, they go and they have fun. They think that their marriage is all about fun. And I'm not having fun anymore, so I'm out of here, honey. That's never the point. It's never the reason. That's not the right order. Let's focus on that first point, to make us holy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. This is a big point. And we're going to celebrate the communion today to emphasize how badly God wants us to be holy. Image Jesus on the cross. How serious does God take holiness? He gave everything. He bled. He suffered to make you holy. To purify you, to get your attention. Holiness means everything to me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Why did they not feel shame? Because they were married, and they were under the holy covenant of marriage. You see, when you're holy and you're doing right, you're under God's covenant and you're doing it the right way, God's way. There's no shame. There's no guilt. Marriage is the only place where you can have an intimate sexual relationship with your wife or with your husband and there's no guilt. We live in a world today where sex is thrown around. But it's dirty. It's shameful. People come away from it feeling guilty, feeling bad, feeling stained, feeling scarred because they didn't do it the right way. You say, well, this makes me feel a little uncomfortable talking about sex in church. It's in the Bible. There's books dedicated in the Bible to physical intimacy. Did you know that? Song of Songs. You should read it if you're married. But it talks about it. It's okay. It's nothing, you know, super duper. But they felt no shame, Adam and Eve. The world has made sex and intimacy a dirty thing, a shameful thing, a hurtful thing. You know, and I didn't even study the Bible, and I knew this. As a young man, I could feel it in my conscience. And a lot of you that may not know the Bible, you know. You know what you've done. You know the people that you've hurt. You know the damage that you've done and the shame and the scars. But God gives us the opportunity to start anew. He provides that hope, that new beginning. Look in Romans chapter 8. This is what Paul is talking about in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen to that. Isn't that awesome? And today when we celebrate, as soon as I'm done, we're going to celebrate the communion. We get the opportunity to be forgiven if you are in Christ. Only if you are in Christ. If you're not, you need to get in Christ. You need to study the Bible. You need to look at your life and see what needs to change. How you can make it right. Decide you're going to make Jesus the driver of your life. The CEO of your life. And that He'll be Lord. And then you need to get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Then you will be in Christ. And then there will be no condemnation for you. Do you realize what that is? That you can stand before God, even with all the junk that you did in your past, in your life. And let me tell you, I had a lot. When I study the Bible with people, sometimes they think, oh, he's not, you maybe not understand me and my background. And then I go into a little detail about who I was and what I did. And they go, oh, okay, now I understand. I'm so grateful for that I'm not condemned any longer, living under a curse. That's what God offers us. But it came at a great price. Holiness came at a great price. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now, marriage is so that we can be holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, we got to make sure we understand what Paul's talking about. Corinth was a very sinful city. A carnal city. They looked at sex as we do today. It was so casual. It was so informal. It was a mess. And people were out of control. But just getting married won't solve your problem. See, I got baptized and I was in this church for 5 years as a single man. I didn't suffer. I didn't like go into convulsions, you know, and man, I can't, you know, have intimacy. I didn't. Because God gave me the power and the ability to control myself and to respect others, particularly women. See, marriage isn't the answer to your lack of self-control. That's not what the Scripture's saying. But it is an answer to being holy. It can be. Once you are made holy and you get your life right, then it can go to another level. Perfect example is, I know married couples who thought marriage was the answer. And it got worse. Their unholiness, either by the husband or the wife, was worse than it was before. See, because they never got self-control under the Spirit of God. In their lives. So this is a very important point. But marriage can make us holy. It is a way for us to have intimacy under a holy covenant. And then number two, the thing we look at is to make us whole or complete. This is another purpose of marriage. Now, you don't need to be married. This is very important. You don't need to be married to be whole and complete. Those 5 years that I wasn't married in the church, I felt completely whole. I felt complete. I wasn't walking around going, man, I'm lost. I don't know. Where's my wife? Can I get a wife? No, I was cool with it. It was great. They were some of the best years of my life as a single man. I didn't struggle. I wasn't tormented, in cold sweats all the time. No, it wasn't like that. I enjoyed it. I went out on dates and it was fun. I had great friendships. I had great friends in the church with brothers and sisters, but they were pure. You see, you can be complete and be single, but marriage offers an opportunity for a complement. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. What that means is when a couple gets married, they come in different and they leave different. They leave differently than when they came in. They'll no longer be known as Joe Newfield and Sandy, what was it? Marion. They'll be known as Joe and Sandy Newfield. One. Not two, one. One person. A very powerful union happens. To God, it's a miraculous union. It's something much deeper than we understand. And the Bible even describes the relationship that He wants with us is what occurs in marriage. That's why it's important for all of us to understand marriage. Why are we even talking about this in mixed company? Because we all need to understand it. It's the relationship that God wants to have with us. He wants to be like this with us. United with us. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, now this is Paul talking here. In verse 7, he says, I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. What's Paul talking about? God gave him a gift of singlehood or singledom, singleship. He had a gift. And he didn't feel the need. I don't need to get married. I'm whole with God. See, now that's a gift. He had it. And everybody for themselves needs to determine what they have. There aren't a lot of people with that gift. But, sometimes God puts us in that situation and we need to be okay with it. It's my calling. And he was okay with it. He found great satisfaction and pleasure. In fact, because of the turmoil that was going on in the church, he considered it a blessing, because if he'd have been married, they might have killed his wife to get to him. Persecution was intense. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. In other words, to complete him, to make him whole. Now, let's understand, who were Paul's friends at this time? Any idea? Animals. Those were his friends. Now, I have a dog. I love my dog. But he does not complete me. Okay? He's great. I love my dog. But he doesn't talk back. Well, not really. He speaks, but he can bark. But we can't have a conversation. And this isn't just talking. It's obviously talking about a woman who is going to be his wife, but not only that, a friend. And you don't necessarily need to be married to have those kinds of relationships of companionship, where you can talk with each other, that you can help each other through the good times and the bad. You see, this really helps us, because sometimes in our lives, marriage, we need other married couples to help us with our marriage. Those relationships are very important. That's what this is talking about. Adam was all alone. He had Rover and Buttercup over here. Okay? It didn't work. You got Meow over here and Woof Woof over here. It wasn't working. He needed more. And God gave him a suitable helper. You know, and some people think, well, I'm looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Okay, here's a good point that's been made. There's not one right person for us in life, but one right kind of person. You can be the right kind of person for someone else, or you can be the wrong kind of person for someone else. It not only has to do with who you are and how you are, but who you choose to be. And I want to speak to the brothers and sisters and to the young people here in the room. It's important that we be the right kind of people to provide the opportunity for that possibility of marriage, if God so chooses, and if you're given that opportunity. But a lot of people are standing around, well, I'm waiting on Mr. Right. Well, Mr. Right's not going to show up until you're Mrs. Right, or Mrs. Right's not going to show up until you're Mr. Right. And I'm not saying being perfect, but I'm saying grow up in Christ. Become who God intended you to be. You know, when Laura and I were dating, they made that very clear to both of us. This isn't something small that you're pursuing. This is big. What you guys are to one another will determine who your kids are and the impact that your lives have. Those couples that you saw standing, they provided great strength, not only for their families, but for our church. People go to them for advice, for encouragement, for help, for guidance. What if they just decided, well, I'm going to be the wrong kind of person? How would that affect people's lives when we need each other to be strong? And so, you know, this idea that there's one person in this world that's the perfect match for me. No, there's not. There's one kind of person. Okay? And God can help us find that one kind. It may not be who you think. You know, some of us are walking around, well, it's got to be this, 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 this. You know? Come on. Let God influence your life. Let Him show you what you need, not what you want, what you need. That right kind of person. Let's keep on moving. This also can include relationships in the church. You know, we need the right kind of people in our lives. If you're visiting here with us, what kind of people do you have as friends in your life? Are they a good influence? Are they helping you to go higher in your life? Some of us don't have close enough relationships, even in the church. We're isolated. We don't have people influencing us to grow and to thrive and to become all we need to be for God so that we can be those pillars, not only as married couples, but as individuals. God wants to use us to change our society. But we need a village around us to help us be those kinds of people. That's where the church comes in. The church provides us with that fellowship, those relationships that make us whole, that complete us. I wouldn't be who I am today if it weren't for God and the people that He's put in my life. That's because I am who I am. I'm whole. And I'm going to continue to be whole as I grow in those relationships. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. We're going to talk about the unions. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife. That word, united. And they will become one flesh. Let's break down the union of a marriage. Because wholeness has to do with union. There's three areas of union in marriage. Number one, it's the physical union. Intimacy. Okay, it's very important to God. Number two is emotional union. Number three, spiritual union. And for those of you who are married, how are those three areas of union in your marriage? Very important, each one. And we're going to look at how they break down. Let's look at the first one, physical union. Paul talks about it. The Bible talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 through 4. So the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife And likewise, the wife to her husband. And the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. What's the Bible talking about right here? Intimacy. That's what the Bible's talking. That's what Paul is talking about right here. Take care of each other's needs. Okay? That is the intimacy. But it's not just the intimacy that he's talking about. It's also holding hands. It's also a hug. It's also putting your arm around. And you know, these types of relationships you can have and provide for each other, not be married. You can encourage each other, hold hands. You can put your arm around your brother or your sister and encourage them. We need that. We need hugs. Here in the church, we hug each other. Right? Why do we do that? Because we need a hug, right? You need a hug? Get one today then. But you got to give it to get it. Okay? But this scripture is talking about the intimacy in a marriage. Okay, but it's very important. Now, emotional. This is very important. Emotional union. This is broken down in our society big time. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Look at what it says here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is a description of sacrificial love. The husband's responsibility is to sacrifice himself for his wife, just as Christ sacrificed himself. How does that make the woman feel? The emotional need of the woman if a husband is willing to sacrifice. How does that... Diane's over here going, yep, yep, she's in agreement. If Kevin sacrifices herself, it makes her feel incredibly secure. It makes her feel safe. It meets her emotional need. Not just her, but women. That's how God created us. So it is our role and our responsibility to meet the emotional need. How do we do that, husbands? Future husbands? Sacrifice. If you're selfish, it makes her feel insecure, fearful. Okay? Now, wives, let's flip the coin here. Wouldn't be fair just to say one side of the coin here. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Husbands need to sacrifice. What do wives need to do? Respect. Submit and respect their husbands. You know what it does to a man when the wife submits and respects her husband? Man, the chest comes out a little bit. You know, the walk is different. The arms go back. He's feeling good. Right? But if she's disrespectful, the shoulders come down. The head goes down. It hunches over. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. You get the picture? God did not order the relationship so it would be, yes, dear. He wants this. Okay? Now listen, this is very important. The very fiber of our society depends on men being who they need to be. When men lack self-esteem, they lack direction. They lack desire. They lack initiative. Man, you get a woman behind a man who believes in him, that guy's going to do something. He's going to go to work with a purpose. He's going to work hard and he's going to come home and he says, yeah, I'm the man. I'm the man of this house and I brought the bacon, baby. But remember, the two, if the husband isn't sacrificing, it becomes a counter effect. Now, in a Christian marriage, it's supposed to be unconditional. independent of her, independent of him, I'm going to be who I need to be. For God, not for him. Well, that guy, he doesn't sacrifice a thing for me. He sits around on the chair all day long, watches the Laker game, doesn't do anything. Then he's got to watch the sports commentary on the Laker game. Everything that was talked about in the Laker game and what Kobe did and what Odom did and this and that. And he doesn't do anything. So I'm not going to respect him. You see where I'm going? Chaos. Husbands, you need to be what you need to be. Sacrifice for your family. Wives, you need to be what you need to be. Submit and respect your husband. Makes all the difference. Our society is what it is. We're imploding because men are not being what they need to be. There's no order. There's no understanding. It's our role, it's our call to be these men. Then third union is spiritual. And we're coming to a close, no worries. Are you getting some of this? If you get this down, I'm telling you, it could change your world. It could change our world. Malachi, spiritual union. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. You ask, why? Is it because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth because you have broken faith with her? Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant, has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are His. Now listen to this. And why? Because He is seeking godly offspring. Guard yourselves and your spirit, in your spirit, and do not break faith with your wife, the wife of your youth. Marriage is spiritual. Marriage is not this. Marriage is not a piece of paper. People run around today and say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. Let me tell you, it was never a piece of paper. And you're blind and misled if you think it's about a piece of paper. And you can just sign off it, get a lawyer, and get divorced. No. It's much deeper. It's spiritual. And look what else he says here. He says, it's by faith. You have broken faith. You can either build faith or break faith. In any one of these three areas, you can break faith in your intimacy, meaning the physical union. You can break faith in the emotional union of your marriage. And you can break faith in the spiritual level of your marriage. A lot of couples break up not because one was unfaithful. It's because emotionally they were spent and there was nothing. They weren't giving emotionally and it just went, it died. The love died. They broke faith. When you get married, you make a vow to keep the faith. I will keep the faith in these three areas. My physical union, my emotional union, and my spiritual union. Look at this. This is what God intended in a marriage. Okay? You see that? It's a triangle. I've seen many couples do really bad spiritually, and it affects their family and their marriage. When one of you does not stay close to God, it goes like that. Everything comes apart. The marriage is held together. It takes three, as we see on the screen. It takes three. Man, the woman, and God. And there are a lot of couples out there. They're great. They love each other. They do a lot of the things that we've talked about. But because God's not in their life, and let me make that really clear for those of you who are visiting here with us today. If God is not an intimate part of your life, both on a personal level, but also on a community fellowship level, on all aspects, it will affect your marriage and family. It's a package. You need God in your life. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. We spend a lot of time trying to build our houses, our marriages, our gardens, our upgrades, kitchens, living rooms, renovating the garage, we do all things. How much time do you spend investing in your time with God so that He will build the house? Some of our houses are decrepit and crumbled because we've not invested the time spiritually. And we're coming undone. And this has to do with even single people, young people. If you don't take care of your relationship with God, things start to come apart. Things start to fall and crack. This is a very important scripture. Well, let's close out. Third point to make us happy. I like this point because I like to be happy. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at Adam, what he says here. Chapter 2, verse 23. Alas! Or in our vernacular, yes! When he saw Eve, when God gave him Eve, yeah! The man exclaimed, "This one is bone of my bone, flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from a man." He was pretty excited. He was pretty happy. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Look at this command that God gave His people Israel. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other official responsibility. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to the wife he has married. How important is happiness to God? It's big. Husbands, make your wife happy. It's part of the purpose of marriage, to make each other happy. Wives, make your husband happy. It's part of the responsibility. But again, remember the order. It flows. Okay? But it's important to God to be happy. But a lot of times happiness, it doesn't happen all the time. If you are depending on your wife or your husband to make you happy, you're going to be left waiting. You're going to be sold short. Because a person will not do that for you. God must do that to you. God must fill the hole in your soul. No one else can fill that for you. And then in closing, I keep on saying that. Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 21. That the days may be multiplied, this was God's promise to His people, and the days of your children, in the land that the Lord swear unto your fathers, give you to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. This is the King James verses. The Bible's talking about that there can be heaven on earth. Just a little bit. Marriage has the potential. Hear this. Hear this. Marriage has the potential to become one of the two things. It can be the nearest thing to heaven on earth, or it can be the closest thing to hell on earth. You don't do what I'm talking about today and you rearrange things and you do it your way and you've seen it. You've heard about it. Maybe some of you felt it. Hell on earth. All because you're not doing it the right way. God's not first. And you have no order. It has that potential. But we need to focus on the positive. I have seen couples that have been to hell and back. And God gave them the ability to have heaven again in their marriage, in their family. And the kids saw it. And they reaped the blessing and they reaped the benefit. They said, man, mom and dad are changed. Mom and dad are different. Because both of them decided to do it the right way. They put God's purpose in for you young people, man. If you want heaven on earth, you know, Michael Bublé is not going to show you the way. I mean, he's a good singer and all, but, you know, and for you young preteen girls, what's the other boy? That kid. He doesn't know. He might be cute, he might have a nice voice, but he doesn't know this. And from what I heard in the media this past week, he's got a temper problem. You want to be married to that? Hell on earth. No. Hope he becomes a disciple. All right, let's put some faith in action, and then we're going to take the communion. Number one, I want to encourage you to decide today, and I'm speaking to all the married couples here in the house, even some of you that might be hearing this recording. I want you to decide today to make your marriage a priority, that you're going to put the order back in your relationship, that you're going to make the priorities holiness, wholeness, and what was the third one?
Happiness.
Can't forget that. Number two, this is for everybody. Get rid of all the garbage the world is dishing out about marriage. It's lies. It's deceit. It is not God's purpose or plan. It can be great. It can be awesome if you do it the right way. And then number three, surround yourself with other people who are like-minded in their faith. Why? Because it takes a village to be a marriage. In your faith groups, partnerships, get involved in each other's lives. Whether you're single or whether you're married, you need people in your life that are going to call you higher. To build up the fellowship, we want to go higher in the church. I'm not happy where things are. I want to go higher. I want to be higher in my marriage, in my family, as a church. Let's go higher. Come on. Are you with me? And then number four, if you're here visiting with us, I want to encourage you to study the Bible with someone, so you can begin your relationship with God, because that is the core. That is the big column that sits in the middle of your life. Let's turn in our Bibles to close and take the communion. Back to Romans chapter 8. I took a little extra time because this is very, very important today. We covered a lot. I'd encourage you to go back over it. The lesson is available online if you want to hear it again. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We read it, but we're going over it again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in a sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. You know, you can have the order, you can have it all on straight, but without Jesus, you can't get the reconciliation, the forgiveness to start over. We celebrate the communion to remember, to appreciate, to value what Jesus did for us on the cross. He poured out His blood for you. He gave His body for you. So then you could live the purpose and have the purpose. Let's pray for the elements. Our Father God in heaven, today we give You praise and thanks for Your Word. But most of all, God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You that He came and He died for us and gave us life.